I like very much the theme, the thema you had, the servant mindset of Jesus, because it is something that we as Christians have to grasp, to understand it in depth, because it has to do with our way of life, with our style of life. And because I know that all of us here are in positions of leadership, of some kind of leadership, I should like to share some thoughts about the mindset, the servant mindset of Christ in leadership. So the first point I should like to make is that we are called to exercise authority with humility. Leadership has an authority. It's an authority that Jesus gave to all believers. Jesus lived with authority. When he spoke, people said, well, he's teaching with authority, not as our teachers of law. And he exercised authority, healing people, casting out demons, and he could show this authority in every moment of his life. And even when it came to give his life for our sins, he said in John 10:18, nobody takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. So he lived with authority. He died having authority on his life, and this authority was delegated to his disciples, and it was delegated to us, because in Matthew 28:18 he said, all authority, after his resurrection, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples all the nations. And this therefore in the Greek text is important. It is un, ipagete un. Go therefore. What means therefore? It means that now I have all authority in heaven and on earth. I send you with this authority to make disciples of all the nations. And I will be with you always, up to the end of the time. And that means that it was not up to the end of your life. Up to the end of the time. That means that this authority is delegated to believers for all generations in the whole world. So, and because Jesus knew that he is going to give authority, to delegate authority to his disciples, even before his death, even before his resurrection, he said to his disciples in Luke 10:19, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. There is a difference both in English and in Greek between authority, in Greek exousia, and power, which is in Greek dynamis. I like very much an example I have heard. There is a huge truck running full speed. Can you stop it? If I stay in front of it, it will make me pieces. So I have no power to stop it. But when a police officer responsible for the traffic makes this movement, this sign, it stops. Why? He has authority over the power of the truck. As a person, he has no power to stop it. If he goes in front of it without his uniform and without the signs of his authority, he'll be dead. But when he uses his authority, and Jesus said, I give you authority over the power of the enemy. The enemy, we don't have more power than the enemy. The enemy is a fallen angel. He has more power than us. But Jesus gave us authority over all the power of the enemy. And this is very important. And it is also important that these words are not addressed to the 12 disciples. So that we should not say, well, these were the 12 apostles. We are not one of them, so it's not for us. No, these words in Luke 10 are addressed to the wider circle of disciples, to the 70 disciples. So, it was words for every disciple of Jesus since. So, as leaders, that means that every believer has authority over all the power of the enemy. So we are not supposed to fear the enemy. We have authority over him. He is supposed to fear us. And I have seen that sometimes. Praise God. As leaders, we have also extra authority on making decisions and on giving directions. That's why it says about overseers and it says over deacons in the epistles 1 Timothy and Titus that, well, in order someone to be an overseer or to be a deacon, he has to manage well his family first. Because if he doesn't manage his family, how will be supposed to manage the Church of God? And that is true. It takes authority and it takes wisdom, godly wisdom, to make decisions and to give directions. So, as believers and as leaders, we have authority. And we are called to exercise this authority humbly, with humility. This is not easy because our human nature likes authority to be in a position that we say the others what to do. And our natural selves feels good. I'm in the leadership, I say to others what they are supposed to do. But Jesus, who lived with that authority, said, come to me and learn from me how humble I am. In Matthew 11:29, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Learn from me. What are we supposed to learn? A lot of things, but what Jesus stresses here, it says, learn from me because I am humble. Learn from me humility. And humility is not easy to be defined. We have some kind of definition in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, here we are, value others above yourselves. Value others above yourselves. Well, I say, how am I supposed to value others above myself if I know I am better? So, I think that this means that we are called to focus on the strong areas of the personality of others and the ability of others. In every person, we can find areas of his life in which he is better than us. And if we focus on that areas, we can make that a strong point. Well, I value this brother, this sister above myself. In that area, there is an area, there are areas in which he or she is better than me. So, the first point I should like to mention was that exercising any kind of authority we have with humility. The second point is that it's very important for us to receive guidance from God.
we need guidance from God. Every believer needs guidance from God. Leaders, a lot more. A lot more. And Jesus Christ is our example even in this. Because in John 5:19 it says, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. I mean, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, looked at his Father and saw what his Father was doing. And he said, I do what I see my Father doing. This is amazing. I mean, he goes in the pool of Bethesda, and there are a lot of people sick, crippled, waiting for the water to be stirred by an angel. And the Lord, having all the authority to heal everybody, in other cases, he healed everybody, he healed just one person. He was there for 38 years, crippled, and he heals only one. And when we read it, we say, well, he got in a place where all the sick people were all together. Why didn't he heal them all? In other cases, he healed them all. Now he heals one. Why? Well, he saw the Father healing one. And he healed one. In other times, he saw his Father healing everybody. He healed everybody. He did whatever his Father was doing and what he saw. So, and this is an example of a servanthood mindset. Well, I obey to the Father, I see what the Father is doing, I do the same. So, we need the guidance of God, and we can get that guidance first through the Scriptures. And it is a great blessing we have the Scriptures. It's a great blessing. And it's a great blessing we don't think of, we can read. You know that the people in the first years of the church didn't know to read. That's why in Revelation it says, blessed is the one reading the words and the others hearing. You remember in the beginning of Revelation? That was the way people were reading. They were hearing someone reading. They didn't know to read. And the books were so expensive, even the few people who knew to read couldn't find books to read in ancient times. So it's a great blessing that we all can read. And it's a great blessing we have the Bible in our languages and in many translations. And we can read the Bible. So we can have, and you see, even in the Old Testament, when God speaks to Joshua, he says, well, you stick with my word. This book of the law will be with you. Meditate on it day and night. And so. And in the New Testament, in Colossians 3:16, it says, let the message of Christ, says this translation, the New International Version, the Greek is, o logos του Χριστού, which means the word of Christ. Let the word of Christ abide in you, dwell in you richly. So, when we study the Bible, we give to our mind and to our heart words of God, and we fill our mind and our heart with the words of God, so that the Holy Spirit can take such a word and bring it to our minds the time we need that. That's why we are supposed to study the Bible, to love the Bible, to know the Bible, to memorize the Bible, so that we can be full of the Word. And we can have guidance from God through the Bible, and we have guidance from God through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Jesus, leaving the earth, said, I'll not leave you alone. I come with you. I'll send you another paraclete, And you know the paraclete, the Greek word parakletos, comes from para, which means beside, and kalo, which is mean call someone. So parakletos is the one called to stand beside me. That is parakletos, paraclete, the Holy Spirit. And this word was used in ancient lawsuits when someone couldn't defend himself, and he'd call someone who could defend him, and he was standing beside him, and he was parakletos, called beside, so he could defend in the court the person accused. And our Lord Jesus used that term, parakletos, for the Holy Spirit, say, I'm going, but I'll leave you another paraclete. And that another has also another important aspect in Greek, because in Greek there are two words for another. One is allos, which means another of the same kind, and the other is heteros, which means another of another kind. So, when Christ says, I go and I'll send you another, it's the allon, the same kind, one of the same kind, another of the same kind, allon parakleton, not heteron parakleton, not someone of another kind, another of the same kind I'll send you. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes to the believers and makes our bodies his habitation. When it says that in 1 Corinthians 6:19, don't you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Are temples of the Holy Spirit. This in Greek, the temple, is naos. It's a word coming from the verb neo, which means inhabit. So naos was the habitation of God. So that means that the Holy Spirit lives in us, and He is there to guide us. We can ask the Holy Spirit living in us to guide us. We can pray, please, God, give me guidance. What am I supposed to do now? There are many cases we don't know how to do. But the Holy Spirit knows and can give us guidance what to do. I remember once a young girl came for prayer and she said, I have a terrible ache in my stomach. Stomach ache. Please pray for me. Okay. When I began to pray for him, I had an inner voice of the Holy Spirit saying to me, tell her to be careful what she throws in her stomach. So I say to her, well, I'm going to pray for you, but what I have in my spirit is that the Lord wants me to tell you that you must be careful what you throw in your stomach. And she said, oh yes, now it's examination period and I drink a lot of coffees just to keep awake and to study. Well, he had spoiled the stomach by the too many coffees, and the Lord says, okay, now I'll heal her, but tell her not to, to damage her stomach with all of this. So I didn't know why her stomach had pain. But the Holy Spirit knew that and said, okay with the healing, but be careful in the future what you give to the stomach. So, first, exercising authority with humility. The second, receiving guidance from God through the Bible and through the Holy Spirit. The third thing I should like to point out is listening carefully and prayerfully to people, trying to understand them. You know, there are a lot of problems in communication between people. We say something to someone and we think that he has understood that, what we have said. Not always so. And when someone says something to us, we think we have understood it. Not always so. That's why the Lord said,
Mark 4:24, consider carefully what you hear. And in Luke 8:18, therefore consider carefully how you listen, how you hear. In Greek it's the same word, hear and listen. Πώς ακούετε and τι ακούετε. Therefore, consider carefully what you hear and how you hear. So, it's very important to be sure what people are saying to us. Every person is valuable, is precious to the Lord. He is made, she is made in the image and the likeness of God. So, we are called to be careful what we hear, how we hear, have you understood what he has said. Sometimes we are eager to speak, and before the other finishes what he says, we begin to speak. That means we haven't understood completely. We haven't understood completely what he has to say. And when we speak to someone, it's very important to check what he has understood. Because sometimes we say and say, okay, I have said that. Okay, you said that. What did the other man understand? I read a story, a true story, of a missionary going in a Buddhist monastery in Tibet. And he gave a New Testament to a monk, a Buddhist monk. So please read that. And after 1 year, he came back and said, have you read the book I gave you? And the monk said, yes, yes, yes. Well, this Jesus Christ must be a very important person. In 4 reincarnations, he came to Nirvana, while Buddha needed 1,000 reincarnations to go to Nirvana. You understand? He thought that the 4 Gospels were 4 different reincarnations of Christ. So Matthew, the first reincarnation, Mark, the second, Luke, the third, John, the fourth reincarnation. And then it finishes about Jesus Christ. That means he got into Nirvana. I mean, so Buddha needed 1,000 reincarnations to come to Nirvana, and Jesus Christ in 4 incarnations. I mean, he didn't understood. He didn't understand. Yes. So it's important to hear what people and to understand what people have to say. And then check if the people have understood what we have said. And then the fourth point I should like to make is to pray for the specific needs of the people. You see, in Acts 10:38, Apostle Peter wants to say just in one phrase about the ministry of Jesus, because he has to speak to people who don't know, they are Gentiles, Cornelius and his kinsmen. And he said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of devil. Doing good and healing. In one phrase, the ministry of Jesus was doing good and healing. So, it's important to be sensitive to the needs of the people and to minister to those needs. An important verse in Luke 10:8-9 is, and these are also addressed to the 70 disciples. It's not just for the 12 apostles. It's for the wider circle of disciples. When you enter a town and are welcomed, first, eat what is offered to you. The first is not in the Bible, I said it. Second, this is not in the Bible, heal the sick who are there. And third, tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. So the order is first, eat. That means have fellowship with them. Eating, especially in the eastern countries, is a way of contact, eating together. So have contact with the people, have fellowship with the people. Then, he said, heal the sick. That means
take care about the needs of others, see what you can do to minister to their needs, and then tell them the message of salvation. The kingdom of God has come near you. I have read a very nice book by Edgardo Silvoso with the title Prayer Evangelism. Edgardo Silvoso is a brother from Argentina. And he said that as when we as a church we understood that, it was very important for us because we were making evangelism and we went to the people, we went door to door and told the people about the salvation of Jesus. But says when we read that, we said that was the third. We put the first, we put first the third, and the people didn't want to hear. So we decided that we do it this order. So we began praying for the people, and then for a whole month we were praying for a special road, for every house of the road. And then after 1 month of praying, we rang the door and said, well, we are Christians, we belong to a church so and so, and we should like to ask you, have you any problem that you would like to pray for? Well, people may not believe in God, but they are very happy that someone who believes cares to pray for them. So the people in most of the houses say, yes, we have a problem, some kind of problem. The people got in and prayed for the problem and went away. And he said, this brother, we saw so many miracles. God answered the prayers we did for unbelievers more than the prayers we did for believers. It was amazing. And so after that, they say, we want to know about the God to whom you prayed, and something happened to our family. So this brother, Edgardo Silvoso, says, we put the things the right order, and it worked. First we had contact with the people, then we cared for their needs, and then they spoke to them about the salvation of Jesus. So we can pray for the people, and we have to be ready to minister deliverance to people. You know, a lot of people are oppressed in a special way by evil spirits because of a life of sin, continual sin, or because of involving with the occult. And there are people that want to know more about God, want to know more about Jesus, and are hindered by the spiritual powers to whom they gave foothold. You remember Ephesians 4:27, which says, do not give the devil a foothold. So if someone gives a foothold to the devil, he takes that foothold and then tries to hinder through that. It's Ephesians 4:27. Ephesians 4:27. I haven't written that. It's Ephesians 4:27. Do not give devil a foothold. That means that if we give him foothold, he will take advantage of that foothold. And I have ministered to people who wanted to pray to receive Jesus as Savior and could not open their mouth to pray because of such an oppression. And after they were delivered in the name of Jesus, they were able to pray and to receive Jesus. So, there are people that need deliverance, and when we pray for people, we have to be ready to minister also in that area, and then to give people encouragement and comfort.
a lot of people need, all of us need that. You remember 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging and comfort. Strengthening, encouraging and comfort. So, it's important when we pray for someone, even if nothing happens. I mean, he is sick and he remains sick. He has problems and he remains with the problems. To live with the comfort, with the encouragement, God is with you. Continue. Hold on. Continue with the Lord. You'll see in the due time the answer. And finally, our motive, our main motive is to please Jesus Christ, who is the chief shepherd. You remember in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So, Peter speaks to overseers. It says, do the work not because you must, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. So, we minister to people, but our main motive are not the people. Our main motive is to make God the Father happy, let us say. To please God the Father. To please Jesus Christ, who is our shepherd. And having this attitude and this mind, this mindset, we can be useful serving other people also. Thank you very much.